Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We will be finishing the book of Galatians tonight. It's been a great study. And at the end of the service, I'll tell you where we're going to go next Wednesday night. But last week, we talked about Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and is about doing good. That's why we are saved in Christ Jesus, to do good works. Because if no one does good, how will they know about God? If we have to do things like that. So how do we do good? First of all, we need to live a Spirit-led life. Verses 1 through 5. What is involved in living a Spirit-filled life? Well, look around you. There's a lot of hurting people. Look around you. There's a lot of fallen people. And what we're supposed to do is restore those people. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation, reconciling the sinner to Christ. We talked about who is the fallen. It's the one that's caught stumbling in a trespass. There's a lot of people today thinking that they're okay, and they know they're not. They just want to give the air that they are okay. No, if you're not okay, admit it to God and let Him help you. Get some help and let them help you. Who restores? Someone who has evidence of a spiritual walk, who has the walking in the Spirit, has the fruit of the Spirit, and is not causing dissension, but basically has crucified the flesh. We're supposed, this restoring is to set a broken bone. We just talked about, prayed for someone who's going to have surgery to set an ankle and set broken bones, and that's what it needs. But you know, if you never set a bone, it will heal crooked. It won't be useful. And then lastly, we need to do it in a spirit of true humility. To live a Spirit-led life is also to respect the hurting. To endure with someone. To basically not to accept what they're doing, but basically continue to work with them that they can be restored. And also to love as Christ. Think of Christ looking down on us and all the things that we do that upset Him. And He says, why are you doing that? You know, I thought you were better than that. Then we need to understand that we just should not soak things in. Okay, if someone's minister to you spiritually, minister to them materially. And we looked at that in Romans chapter 12. And then ask the next question about what crop is coming in your life. You know, a man reaps what he sows. Sowing in the flesh will bring destruction. Sowing in the Spirit reaps eternal rewards. And then the last thing is we need to do good, to stay encouraged, to stay engaged, and to stay effective. And then we closed last week with James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to them that knoweth to do good, doeth not. To him it is sin. So that's what we looked at last week. Tonight, we look at the message about what matters most. What matters most. And we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 18. And here's the reality. You will fight for things that matter to you. You will fight for things. You will put effort on things that matter to you. So we're looking at Paul's closing argument. And this is going to be fairly quick tonight. In verse 11, one of the things, if something matters to you, you will get involved personally with it. In verse 11, we see that Paul got involved personally. It says here, it says, ye see how large a letter I have written with you with my own hand. Now we'll look at this verse here because there's several things that we need to observe. First of all, others saw his involvement. It goes more than to say, well, I'm just praying for you. You've got to get involved in people's lives. Sometimes we say we're going to pray for someone and then we don't do it. What good is that? James says, what good is it if you see someone who has need and you say, warm and be filled? Does that help you? Does that faith show evidence that you're following God? The answer is no. Paul, most of the time, had his letters dictated. So if you go in the book of Romans, which is a letter from Paul, that's longer than Galatians. But the thing about Galatians was that Paul wrote it himself. He dictated all the other letters. And then in order to show the authenticity, like he says in 2 Thessalonians, he says, I've signed this with my own hand. So he would dictate the letter, someone would write it down, and then he would sign it. Why? Because Paul had poor eyesight. Now, if you had poor eyesight, like I'm getting, because I think nation is Nathan, okay? The issue is, I'll take it, okay? What happens when your eyes start to fail? You start writing
bigger,
okay? So this letter, first of all, is long in length because Paul wrote it personally, and it's probably great big block letters. So when you see a sign, what's it? It's not done in cursive. It's done in great big block letters, so it gets your attention. Paul wanted to get the Galatian church's attention. Where they were going was the wrong way. And you know something? If he didn't get involved, what would have happened? What would have happened? So others saw his involvement. It says, ye see how large a letter. Folks, we see how much God does in our life. We see God's word. We experience his will. And he basically wants us to see that he loves us. The cross is a sign of his love. Now, secondly, others were impacted by his involvement. Because Paul took this on personally, that he wanted this to go the other way. They were going the wrong way. They had started out this way and they had just turned about face, and now they were going back into legalism. And we'll talk about why that happened tonight. But when you see if you saw someone in a burning house and their house was burning, what would you do? You would yell, fire, get out. If you saw someone going down and walking out, starting to walk out in front of a vehicle, which happens frequently around here, you would say, stop. Or you would get involved and you would save them. So the issue is, others were impacted by his involvement. What difference are we making in people's lives? You know, we need to put feet to our prayers.
Right.
We need to put action to our desires and let other people see it. And then it says, involvement takes effort. Paul wanted this. He was angry about this. You know, he starts out, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel that I preached to you. It upset him that this happened, and he just couldn't take it. Folks, how many times do we see someone in error and we never say anything about it? That's why we're in this pickle we are in our society today. That's why the world is in. Because we see things over and over again and we've never said anything about it. We need to get involved like Paul. See, the spiritual growth of the Galatians mattered to Paul. And he did something about it. Because he thought spiritual things was the most important thing in a person's life. And folks, that's what the church is about. It's about telling people about Jesus, and it's about discipling. A lot of people get this all out of whack. They'll talk about teaching and discipling and everything else and leave the salvation part apart. Some people just do the salvation part, not the disciple. He says, make disciples, which means you got to get them saved and then you got to disciple them. You got to do both.
Right.
That takes involvement. So ask God tonight, where does He want you to get involved in His ministry? He has gifted us. He saved us. He's gifted us to do something. And so Paul got involved personally. See, what matters most will reveal the inner motivations of people. And so we're looking here at verses 12 through 16. In verses 12 through 13, he's talking about what motivated these people, this group of people called the Judaizers. What motivated them? Now, the Judaizers said, yep, to believe in Christ is good, but you need to add keeping the Mosaic law to it. It's Christ plus something. That's a different gospel. And Paul says, let them be accursed. So why were the Judaizers doing this in the first place? Well, the first one is to avoid persecution. When the Bible says something specifically, that's the reason. You don't have to sit there and be a great theologian and parse the words and everything else. It says so. It says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. See, this issue about circumcising and following the Mosaic law was all about fleshly stuff. Jesus talked about it to the Pharisees. They said, you bind burdens on people that are heavy. And you won't even do them yourself. You keep all this, you tithe of mint and cumin, but you forget the weightier things of the law, of justice and love and grace. Said, you've forgotten all those things. See, it's real easy to set up a bunch of rules that you can do in the flesh. And you know what? It makes you feel good. It says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be what? Circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. See, they didn't want to do this battle head on. We sang the song, "The Fight Is On" tonight. See, they thought that if they started going back and they started keeping the law, the Jews would let them alone. Folks, we cannot compromise the gospel of Christ.
Right. Amen.
Cannot compromise it. It's by salvation, by grace alone. There is no works involved. We do things because we love Him. We do things because we're saved, not to be saved. Because if you're doing things to try to be saved, that's the flesh. If you're doing things to feel good yourself, that's the flesh. That's all wrong motivation. And they were trying to avoid the... You know why? The cross was an offense. The Jews didn't want Jesus to be brought up again. They didn't want this thing about Him raising from the dead to be brought up again. They thought He was dead and gone. They found out, huh?
Yeah.
They found out. And so people will be politically correct and change their spots so they can look good to a group. Folks, a person who believes in what they believe won't change when they're around different groups of people. If you act one way around one group of people and act another way around another group of people, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. See, their inner motivation was to avoid persecution. They didn't want to look bad. They didn't want people to call them out. They wanted just to, you know, just keep on going, not rock the boat, and try to bridge all this stuff. Folks, there's only one God. There's only one faith. And it doesn't matter what we have on the sign. It matters how you believe according to the Bible.
Amen.
And just because you say you believe in God, that does not mean anything. Do you believe in Christ and salvation by grace alone? Period. Period. Nothing else. All the world's religions are not going to get together. Well, they will get together under the Antichrist. And they'll all have this big party. And the real believers won't be here. We won't be here. And so, you call yourself a church. You don't preach Christ by himself. Salvation by grace by itself. You're wrong. You're not a church. A church is a group of believers. Not what you call yourself. So, what was the inner motivation of the Judaizers? It was to avoid persecution. They wanted to do things to kind of straddle the fence. Doesn't work that way. If you follow, he says, no. What did he tell his disciples? What did Christ tell his disciples? He says, know this, that the world hated me, they're going to hate you. Right. In this world, you shall have what? Tribulation. You will have trouble. He said, be of what? Good cheer. I've overcome the world. The second thing was to look good. Was to look good. In verse 13 it says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. The only thing they were doing was doing the rite of circumcision. I guarantee you they weren't doing all the sacrifices. I guarantee you they weren't doing the Ten Commandments. I guarantee you they weren't doing all the other stuff. And we went through this and found out that you start trying to do the law, you got to do what? All of it. And if you're guilty of one part of it, you're guilty of all of it. He says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. We call them today what? Hypocrites. The Pharisees and the scribes were hypocrites. Christ called them hypocrites. And so, Paul is writing this letter by his own hand. Great big bold letter. Watch out for these people. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they what? May glory in your flesh. See what? It's all about control. And we're seeing that today, folks.
Right.
And we're letting the world control us.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong in taking health precautions.
Right.
But there is something wrong in telling you how you're going to worship and when you're going to worship and all this other stuff. There is something wrong with that. You know, the biggest part about all these religions is all about competition. When you're trying to look good, who you're looking good against? Someone else. That means that you're going to be doing something to look better than them. And then they're going to try to do what? Do something to look better than you. And then you have this thing going on. That's not what Christ is all about. Christ is about humility and long-suffering. Well, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's striving for vainglory, which is the wrong thing to do. And so, who are you living for? Not working for. Who are you living for? We should be living for Christ.
Amen.
And Him alone. So, we see that the inner motivation of Judaizers was to avoid conflict with the Jews. You know why? Because everywhere Paul went, they followed. Everywhere. And then also to look good, because, you know, it always makes you feel good when someone does what you say, doesn't it? We always want to be listened to. But folks, we need to tell them the truth. So, what matters most revealed their inner motivations. But let's look at the inner motivations of Paul here in verses 14 through 16. In verse 14, Paul's inner motivation was the cross. In verse 14 he says, but God forbid that I should glory. It could also be translated as boast. Folks, if you know the truth and you know what the answer is, remember in school, you knew what, and the teacher's asking questions. That's the way we ought to be in the world, folks. We have the truth. We have this vest, we have this rich, this riches in earthen vessels. Okay? We have this stuff in earthen vessels. That's us. And we ought to go, I know how you can be helped. God can take care of this. God can take care of this. God can take care of this. And it says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the what? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the world is crucified to unto me, and I unto the world. See, every day that we wake, we ought to thank God for the cross. We ought to thank God for what He did, for His love. That showed God's love. You know, in verse 20 of chapter 2, Paul wrote, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the cross, folks. That's who we should look at. We should not look at the world, at the world's way. We should look at the world at the cross way. Christ came to what? Save and to seek that which was lost. What should we be doing? We should save and seek that which was lost. We are dead to the world and alive to Christ. You're only dead to the world because of the cross. You're only alive to Christ because of the cross. The cross should matter most in your life. It should matter most in your life. Paul says, he says, I want to know one thing among you. Jesus Christ and Him what? Crucified. Because if you haven't taken His substitutionary death on the cross, you're lost. You're lost. So, Paul's thing, he says, the only thing I'm going to boast in is what Christ did for me on the cross. And what the cross does, allows me to do for Him in this world, through my life. Secondly, there's the cross, but then there's also Christ, toward Christ. In verse 15, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You can wear all the religious t-shirts that you want to every day. That doesn't make you a Christian. You can wear cross jewelry all over the place, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You can do all these things and look a certain way for God, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Christ makes you a Christian. His substitution death on the cross makes you a Christian. There, everything else is meaningless. What's he saying here? He's saying, look, it's all about Christ. Circumcision doesn't matter. Trying to keep all that Mosaic law, that just shows you need the cross in Christ. Okay? Living in Christ, you don't have to keep that law. That means that you're in Christ. It doesn't matter. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So we see his relationship toward Christ. And then the third one is in others' walks. Now he's talking to the Galatians. He's talking to us tonight. He's talking to us tonight. In verse 16, it says, and as many as walk according to this what? rule. What's the rule? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in the cross. We walk in Christ. That's all we care about. That's the rule. That's the rule. Peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. He says three things here. First of all, that there's a single rule. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, talking about Pentecost. What happened after Pentecost? You know why Pentecost happened? First of all, God told them to stay there. They stayed there. So when it was time, they were in the right place. Christ told them to wait. They waited. So when they waited, they got what God was promising them to do, the Holy Spirit. Then they used what the Holy Spirit told them to do, and they preached the what? The cross. They preached Christ, and 3,000 got saved, and everybody wanted to follow cross and Christ. And in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2, it says, and they what? Continuing daily. What are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to think about the cross? Are you going to think about Christ? Are you going to think about His love? And they continuing daily with what? One accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart. See, Paul says there's one rule. It's live to the cross. Live to Christ, who died on the cross. There's a significant result. He says, as many... You want to experience the grace of God? You need to accept His gift of grace. You need to be saved. He says... And what's your thing? Peace. The only way you can have peace is be reconciled with God. The only way you have reconciliation with God is to believe in the cross and Christ and have His grace. Peace be on who? Them who walk according to the what? The rule. And not only this, but what? Mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. I'm glad that God is merciful to me every day. And when we do something wrong, we shouldn't scoff it off and say, ah, God, I know you love me. I'm sorry. No, it should make us want to realize as our sins have put Him on the cross, it's His mercy that we're not what? Consumed. I am so glad that God loves me for who He sees in me, not for what I do. And we need to understand that too. It's a significant result. It says, according to this rule, peace be on them and what? Mercy. And then the last one is a sign of a relationship with God. Okay, so here they go again. Paul's taking on the Judaizers head on. They said, hey... You need to be as the Jews. They're Abraham's seed. They had God's promises. They had all that stuff. That's exactly the same thing they said in John chapter 8. We be Abraham's seed. We've been under subjection, no man. As the Roman soldiers marched around. See, the Israel of God is all who believe in Christ through faith, like Abraham. Abraham what? Believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Folks, our belief has to be by faith in God and nothing else. It's not the law. It's not what you do in the flesh. It's not by keeping some ceremony. It's not by doing any of that stuff. It's by knowing Christ. So, what matters most to Paul made him get involved? What matters most to us will reveal our motivations, why we're doing the things. And then the last thing is, what mattered most marked Paul's life. In verses 17 through 18, it says, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And all people said, amen. Amen. Let it be so. Okay? So what's he talking about here? Basically this fact. When you give the truth, the discussion is over. He says, "I've written this letter. I've come at this argument several ways." Talk about what the law did. Talk about Jerusalem. And talking about the two sons of Abraham and what they meant. And talk about the one true gospel. Talking about faith and what it really is. And I'm not going to go back down this again. You've heard the truth. It's time for your decision. And folks, that's what we have to do sometimes. You don't have to put man's logic to try to defend the truth. The truth will defend itself. All we're supposed to do is just tell it. That's tough at times. Now, I highlighted the word marks. Okay? The word marks here is, the Greek word is stomata. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The stigma comes from that word. When a Roman soldier was in an elite group, he had the name of his commander tattooed on his head. Some of these priests had the name of their mythical gods tattooed on their head. Paul is saying, look, he says, "I bear the marks of Christ." Now, so what do you mean by that? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in laborers more abundant, in stripes upon measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." Did those stripes leave scars?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know, we talked about in Children's Corner Sunday morning that there was a picture of the nail print in the hand of Jesus. And he's always going to have those. When we see him, we'll recognize him by the nail prints in his hands. That's how Thomas recognized him. We'll see the nail prints in his feet because they say they'll look on him whom they what? Pierced. We will see him when we get to heaven. We will see the pierced Savior and realize he did all that for us, for every one of us that can stand in front of him. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods." You think those left marks? This is what he's talking about. See, Christ was whipped and beaten and scourged and all these things. He says, "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." When was he not in peril? Think about that. That's kind of an all-inclusive list there. 27, "In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness." Folks, what mattered most to Paul was Jesus. What mattered most to Paul was the gospel. What mattered most to Paul was the cross and Christ crucified. What mattered most to Paul was grace and salvation as a free gift. What mattered most to Paul was all the things that God allowed him to do. What matters most to Paul was that he was forgiven of persecuting the church and now he's the greatest defender of it. What mattered most to Paul is that he was going to go to heaven. What mattered most to Paul is that he was living by Christ. And folks, that's what we have to be. Does that matter most to you? We bear the marks. We're supposed to bear the marks of Christ. It's not like go home and mark yourself up. But we all have signs of spiritual battle, or you should. And if you've been a Christian, not been in a spiritual battle, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. He says this. He says, I've given you the truth. Okay? The discussion is over. You look at these Judaizers, what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you do something in the flesh so they can feel good. They're making you do something in the flesh so they don't have to worry about the Jews as much. They're only in it for themselves. They're not in it for you. They want a glory because they're in competition to see how many people they'd come their way. He says, you look at that. You look at me. Look at me, Paul. And you see what I've suffered. I came to you and I couldn't even see right. And you would have given your own eyes for me. You received me and you did all this for me. You had compassion on me and you listened to the word and it changed your life. But now someone comes in after I'm gone and folks, character and faith is when you're by yourself. Is when you have to act on your own. That's where it comes in. It says, now you're on your own and you're doing this. Hey, I told you the truth. The discussion is over. You ought to bear the stigma of Christ on you. And then lastly, if you do that, you will be marked by the grace of God. In verse 18 it says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's on the inside. The Judaizers only cared about the outside. The Pharisees only cared about the inside. God looks on the heart. It's not what's on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside. Because if the inside is right, the outside will be right. If the inside is wrong, then the outside is wrong. How much does Christ matter to you? Matter enough to get involved? Is he the source of your inner motivations? Do you bear his marks? That's what it's all about. That's what this letter was all about. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask that you be with us time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to be centered on the cross. Help us, Lord, to be centered on you and what you've done for us. Lord, we're nothing without you. Help us to realize that. Help us to serve you with all of our heart in true humility. We give you this time. We ask that your Holy Spirit have full reign right now. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Just